Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday, we strive to expose the destructive myths that are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. You know, the last few days, we've been focused on the lack of reason that has been applied to the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin trial. And prior to that, in returning today, we will return to consider the Spygate scandal, where the United States government wants to pursue as a criminal Snowden, but does not want to prosecute the leaders of this government who not only lied to Congress, but did not uphold their oath to the U.S. Constitution. And as a whole, our mission here is to go beyond simply presenting the news, to help our listeners understand what is actually occurring behind the headlines and how the events that they depict will shape our world over the next 10 to 20 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His is the lone reliable voice in an exceedingly troubled world. Our telephone number is toll-free. You can call it at any time. We welcome your participation, 877-300-7645. I do want to have one last comment relative to the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin trial reaction. And that is to say that the anticipated response is going to be changing laws once again that make it more difficult for Americans to enjoy the benefit of their Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. That is what the government wants, because it makes American citizens defenseless against anything, any negativity, any scheme that they want to impose. So that is likely. Second, the government is likely to impose new laws on profiling. And this fits perfectly into the concept of political correctness, where all manner of thinking, evidence and reason will be taken out of the equation. If they do such things and they incorporate profiling into their hate crimes legislation, then books like Prophet of Doom, even books like Yada Ya and The Introduction to God will be banned, and I will be prosecuted as a criminal. Because evidence and reason, the truth, will not be an alibi. You will not be able to claim, if you cannot profile, then you will not be able to claim that your actions were based upon a reasonable exercise of one's mental acuity based upon the evidence at one's disposal. Evidence and reason will not be considered a means to exonerate oneself from the charges. That is where we're headed. The head of the NAACP stated that bluntly is what he wants. He will likely get it because our government is extraordinarily liberal and those in charge cater to the mindset that is being articulated. It also shows us that politicians have been as effective as religious leaders in brainwashing, indoctrinating wide swaths of the American citizenry, so that they're literally incapable of responding to a situation reasonably. They cannot investigate, compile evidence, and then render an intelligent decision based upon that evidence. That would be the vast preponderance of people. It's a combination of the failures of our educational system, actually their success, that was their intent, politics and religion. The combination of those things and patriotism all working together to dumb down the vast preponderance of the American people so that they simply react to what are nothing but lies, believing the lies, becoming enraged based upon the lies. Moving to a news story, we find in Istanbul exactly what we had predicted on this program, that the protests in Turkey were going to fail. And they would fail because the majority of Turks are fundamentalist Muslims. About 20 to 25% of Turks are secularists or Christians. The remainder, as fundamentalist Muslims, are in lockstep with what Erdogan has done, which is to make Turkey a theocracy. And they are opposed to an expression of free will. And so today we had the Turkish government use its counter-terrorism police to launch pre-dawn raids against scores of targets across Turkey's largest city, Istanbul. Think about that. Turkey used counter-terror police to launch raids at people who protested peacefully. You know, there may have been some rock throwing amongst the Turkish protesters, but in light of what they endured from the Turkish government and police, with constant harassment of high pressure hoses and tear gas barrages upon them, their response to the Turkish military and police was unbelievably subdued and constrained. I mean, the epitome of being peaceful. And yet now in Turkey, the counter-terror police has been launched in Gestapo fashion against the peaceful protests. At least 30 suspects were detained already. Turkey's official Anatolian agency reported, in conjunction with the anti-government protests that erupted in Istanbul in late May. So they shut down the protests, and now they're arresting those who protested. Mind you, those protests were peaceful. It was in retaliation, this article says, from CNN, for an unprecedented series of protests that erupted after Turkish riot police repeatedly attacked a peaceful sit-in. Demonstrators had initially organized, and this says, small Occupy Wall Street-style protests. Can you imagine being so liberal, so out of touch with reality, that you associate the protests that took place in Istanbul with the failed Occupy Wall Street style encampments in America? But nonetheless, that's how they have been positioned, to somehow raise the specter of Occupy Wall Street again as if it's relative and relevant. For several days, riot police repeatedly attacked sit-ins and participants with pepper spray, tear gas, and water cannons, day after day. The most recent fatality was a 19-year-old Ali Ismail Korkmaz, who died in a hospital late last week after being beaten into a coma during demonstrations in the city of Eskihir on June 2nd. Turkish media organizations have released security camera footage from that night showing men with gas masks and clubs chasing the protesters and beating them in the streets. Those firing the tear gas were the Turkish riot police. Those wearing the gas masks were the Turkish riot police. The Turkish riot police, after firing the tear gas, went in with clubs and beat this 19-year-old boy into a coma. Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has repeatedly denounced the protests, calling the demonstrators terrorists and vandals. No, Mr. Erdogan is leading the terrorist government. He has vandalized human rights. He is amongst the most dangerous men in the world today, amongst the least honest, amongst the most reprehensible. He is also showing that he is grotesquely paranoid and insecure. When you view peaceful protesters as terrorists and vandals, there's something extraordinarily demented about that. Initially, Erdogan accused the demonstrators of being part of an international conspiracy aimed at toppling his elected government. Yeah, an international conspiracy. Gets people to sit in a public square that whose only the purpose of the sit-in was that the square was used for this purpose, for being able to express deep grievances against the government. The government wanted to turn it into a celebration of the Ottoman Empire, leaving only the mosques as cornerstones to what would be there. And so that the opportunity for voicing freely one's opinion, to express one's opinion in Istanbul would be removed. And so Erdogan wants the world to believe that international conspiracies aimed at toppling his government were the reason that they were protesting. He claimed that the protests in both Turkey and Brazil were organized by the same shadowy center. Now, the protests in Brazil, if I'm correct here, had to do with the enormous bribery and cost overruns that are associated with hosting the World Cup soccer and then the Olympics. But in his twisted mind, they were all the same shadowy center that has caused this. Now, if it's a shadowy center, does that not suggest, since they're opposed to him, that he is far from center? And if democracy and if civilian rights and a sectarian government, a secular government, excuse me, is considered center, then would not a Islamic theocracy based upon Islamic fundamentalism be at the extreme? Shattering this, we're considering the story of Turkey. The story of Turkey is interesting because it expresses the nature of Islam, which in Islam, not only will Islam never tolerate a rival, but the mindset of a Muslim is to be paranoid, to always think that someone is out to get them. And the reason that they're paranoid is that that's just the nature of evil. When evil people know that that's what they would do in that situation, they would do everything they could to undermine an opposed adversary. And so they project their own deficiencies, their own demented mindset, their own twisted and depraved views on their enemy. We all project what we consider to be our value system on our adversary. And in Islam, the value system is that of Muhammad, who was a rapist and a pedophile and a mass murderer, a slave trader, a kidnapper, a schemer, a liar, and just the most repulsive of men who ever have lived.
Sounds
so
like
Erdogan,
a system more than a value system.
it's a system, all right. So Erdogan is simply reflecting his own religious viewpoint on his adversaries, and therefore he sees everyone is out to get him, everyone dealing secretly, clandestinely, scheming, because that's who he is. So he's revealing himself in these statements. So over the last week, Erdogan has expanded the scope of his alleged conspiracy, claiming that the mass protests and a military coup that toppled the elected government in Egypt were somehow linked to the demonstrations in Turkey. So the military coup that took place in Egypt was the inspiration for the military to crack down on protesters in Turkey, which he, by the way, gave the orders for them to do so. Which means if that was a coordinated conspiracy, then the center of the conspiracy would have been Erdogan himself. Turkey's security forces have largely succeeded in crushing the demonstrations through widespread use of tear gas. Now, in Egypt, of course, the military sided with the protesters, and in Turkey, the military crushed the protesters. So, you tell me, how is it possible that they are the same? One of the problems of religion, and particularly of Islam, which is the dumbest of all religions, it's the most upside-down view of everything that is worthy, including logic, is that people actually say things and believe things and promote ideas that are rationally impossible. And unfortunately, because political correctness has so poisoned most people's ability to think rationally, most people will listen to this and say, oh, well, you know, no big deal. As opposed to saying, wait a minute, that's insane. Why would this leader of Turkey say something that is literally irrational? I mean, the opposite of what he's claiming is true. Anyway, the military, the riot police et al. Crushed the peaceful riots with tear gas, water cannons, and a growing number of arrests. In so doing, the Turkish police and government have come under fire from international organizations like the European Parliament and Amnesty International for excessive use of force. Last week, a coalition of medical observers and organizations, including the Boston-based Physicians for Human Rights and the World Medical Association, issued an appeal for an international ban on the sale of tear gas to Turkey. Guess who supplies all of the tear gas that Turkey used to put down the democratic and peaceful protests? I'll give you one guess. Yep, true. The United States. Police have systematically used that tear gas as a weapon, the World Medical Association says, on hundreds of thousands of demonstrators. America supplied that weapon, firing tear gas canisters and capsules directly at protesters in close range. Staying in this general part of the world with the same disease, Islam, infecting the leaders, Sudan's president, Omar al-Bashir, was in left Nigeria. He was in Nigeria for a conference because there were human rights groups in Nigeria that appealed to the Nigerian court system to compel the government to arrest Mr. Bashir and hand him over to the International Criminal Court. The ICC issued an arrest warrant for Mr. Bashir back in 2009, accusing him of committing genocide during the 10-year conflict in Sudan's Darfur region. Some 2.7 million people have fled their homes based upon the government-inspired militias, and the government-equipped militias. 2.7 million people have fled their home in the conflict, and 300,000 have died. Genocide. All as a direct result of Mr. Bashir aiding and equipping, arming Arab Muslims to go off and kill and rob and abuse, rape, and kidnap African Muslims. It is a racist religion, after all. We'll return with Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Returning to Shattering Myths, we want to conclude one last thought on Mr. Bashir and his fundamentalist Islamic government in the Sudan. While the international court wishes to try him for genocide in the Darfur region, based upon what happened there in 2003, where 2.5 million people were forced from their homes, 2.7, some estimates say, and 300,000 have died. That really is a rounding error compared to what the fundamentalist Islamic government in the Sudan did in their own country. Because in the past 25 years, and in the 20 years prior to the genocide that began in Darfur, where Arab Muslims associated with the government began to target African Muslims, which is, by the way, a theme that's taking place throughout Africa today. The Arab Muslim government in Darfur targeted African animists and African Christians, and they murdered 2.5 million of them. And it is amazing to me that as the Islamic government in the Sudan was perpetrating genocide on 2.5 million African Christians and animus. The world didn't seem to care. Hollywood got involved and seemed to care in Darfur when Muslims were killing Muslims. But there was no support, no international cry for genocide when 2.5 million African animists and Christians were murdered by this Islamic government. It tells you just how corrupt we are. When the United States made the decision to invade Iraq and Afghanistan, before the invasion of either country even began, I said, there is nothing to be gained here. If we invade these two countries, bad situations will become much worse. We will shed blood and coin, making bad situations much worse in those countries. It's counterproductive. It's even suicidal to invade either of those two countries. I said, if we are so hell-bent on trying to use our military to do good in the world, the country that needs to be invaded, where there is a 0% possibility that you could leave it worse than you found it, is the Sudan. Go there. If human rights is your goal, rather than attacking a leader who has killed hundreds, if not a few thousand, of his own citizens, go invade a country where that leadership has killed millions. Right? If you're rational, if you're moral, that's where you go. If the purpose of your military is to act as a worldwide police and try to protect the rights of those that governments are attacking in genocidal fashion, then you invade the Sudan. Not Iraq. Not Afghanistan. There were no genocides there. Turning to another place in the world, Egypt's leadership on both sides is telling Obama to shut up and leave him alone. You know, Obama's big claim was that when the military coup happened and there, that he issued his edict, which was an order not to arrest any member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and not to harass them in any way, and to return to the elected government as soon as possible. Well, the elected government was Sharia-based, was Islamic, fundamentalist. The people voted, between two-thirds and three-quarters of the people voted for an Islamic government, and the Morsi did what the people had voted him into office to accomplish. Now, while I'm wholly opposed to the Muslim Brotherhood and everything they represent, the fact is, given the opportunity to vote again, so long as the elections are open and fair, that's who the people will vote for once again. But here's the President of the United States saying, oh boy, we're going to withhold aid, we're going to stop sending weapons to the military unless the military returns to power back to the elected government and does not arrest the Muslim Brotherhood leaders. Well, here's the story. Egypt's public prosecutor has frozen the assets of 14 Islamic leaders, in other words, confiscated their money, according to judicial sources. The Muslim Brotherhood head, Mohammed Vadi, and his deputy are reported to be among them. Mr. Vadi and other Brotherhood figures are already subject of arrest warrants, while the ousted president, Mohammed Morsi, remains in custody. He has been arrested as well. On Sunday, Army Chief Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, who is a fundamentalist Muslim, defended the decision to remove him from power. So what we have done is returned to military rule. And when the military was in charge of Egypt, while they were fundamentalist Islamic, they prevented the Muslim Brotherhood from being able to express themselves openly in the society. The first thing that this government did, the military coup leaders did, is they shut down all of the media outlets for the Muslim Brotherhood. We've gone right back to where we were prior to the Egyptian revolution. Then in a speech talking about duplicity, the very general who has shut down the Muslim Brotherhood, confiscated their money, arrested their leaders, and turned off all their media outlets, said that no group would be barred from politics. Talk about hypocrisy. Every political force must realize that an opportunity is available for everyone in political life, and no ideological movement is prevented from participating. But if you're from the Muslim Brotherhood and you become a leader, we will arrest you, but you're free to participate from prison, and we will confiscate your money, but, you know, go ahead and try to promote yourself with the money that you don't have anymore because we confiscated it. No problem. It's fair. In a speech, he also said that no group, that according to Egypt's state-run Channel 1 TV, the leader of the Brotherhood Freedom and Justice Party has also been incarcerated. His assets have all been stolen, along with senior figures from rival Islamist groups. So even the Brotherhood's political party has had their assets confiscated. Their leaders have been incarcerated at the very same time that Sisi, as a fundamentalist Muslim, the general, is saying, oh, everybody can participate. It's kind of like Putin's way of allowing everyone to participate. You can participate all you want in Russian politics so long as you support him, and if you don't, you're going to jail. Good luck. I'm going to confiscate your wealth, and I'm going to imprison you, but feel free to play. Returning to the story that we've been covering for several weeks, U.S. allies Mexico, Brazil, Colombia, and Chile. Now, this is not Nicaragua. This is not Bolivia. This is not Venezuela. This is U.S. allies Mexico, Brazil, Colombia, and Chile have joined other Latin American nations in demanding answers from Washington over spying allegations. You see, this NSA Spygate story is a lot more than America's turning American citizens into the perceived enemy and negating America's constitutional rights to unreasonable search and seizure. You see, they were also spying on every country in South America. Now, you can't claim, there is absolutely no justification whatsoever for saying that I'm trying to keep America free from a terrorist attack by spying on South America. The Mexicans, Colombians, the Venezuelans, the Brazilians, the Chileans aren't planning terrorist attacks in America. And the only influence of criminal activity that takes place in those countries that is germane to America is the drug war. And the drug war is only exists because America has broken morals and is drugging itself into oblivion, that we are the largest consumer of illicit drugs. And that we have chosen to criminalize it, and by criminalizing it, we enrich the participants. So other than our ill-fated war on drugs, there is absolutely nothing happening in these countries that would any way, shape, or form justify us spying on them. And yet we are. The O Globo newspaper said that the U.S. facility in the Brazilian capital was part of a network of such 16 bases maintained by the National Security Agency, the NSA, around the world to intercept transmission from foreign satellites. Brazil apparently remains the main target of U.S. snooping in Latin America, with major firms and foreign visitors routinely targeted. And there is absolutely no justification for doing so. The surveillance was allegedly conducted through partnerships between Brazilian telecom firms and U.S. agencies. On Monday, the president of Brazil urged the U.S. to explain and has ordered an investigation into the claims. She said that if true, they would represent violations of sovereignty and of human rights. Absolutely. Oh, but the Obama administration says that Snowden is not a dissident. He's not a human rights activist. No, he's just an ordinary criminal. Well, I tell you what, the world disagrees. And if we're, as Americans now, trying to campaign to be the ogre nation of the world, to be the one nation in the world that everyone in the world despises, then we're doing a really good job. During angry exchanges in Parliament on Wednesday, senators suggested Brazil should give Mr. Snowden asylum, while others said Brazil should cancel lucrative defense contracts with the United States. The allegations on O Globo detailed claims of U.S. spying across Latin America, sparking an angry reaction from traditional American foes in the region like Venezuela and Ecuador. But analysts say the U.S. will be much more concerned with the irritation and revelations that have caused Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, and Chile to turn on the United States. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto said, "We want to know if this is really true, and if so, it would obviously be totally unacceptable." Officials in Chile and Colombia made similar statements early in the week. So the question is the Obama administration feeding off what George W. Bush had set in place, trying to make America the most hated nation on earth? If he is, he's doing a very fine job. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This story is related to the last one we were covering. Fox National Security Agency, this story is from Fox, and it reads that National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden is said to possess enough information to cause greatly more damage to the United States government than anyone has in history, according to the journalist who first reported the former contractor's leaks documents. Now, you'll have to say he is not in a position to cause damage to the United States. He's not in a position to cause damage to the people of the United States. There is nothing that he released that harmed or even left the people of the United States vulnerable. In fact, what he did made the people of the United States, its citizens, has empowered them with information that they should have used to oppose their government. The information that he has will cause even more damage to the United States government, which is deserving of the damage. Glenn Greenwald, a columnist for the Guardian newspaper who first reported the intelligence leaks, told the Argentine newspaper La Nación that the U.S. government should exercise extreme care with Snowden because he has the potential to do further damage should he wish to. In other words, it's stupid. It is just counterproductive. It is moronic to have turned this guy into a villain. And to have been seeking his arrest. In fact, he's sitting there in Moscow because the United States pulled his passport and threatened countries throughout Europe not to let any plane carrying him fly through their airspace. That's why he's sitting there. He doesn't want to be in Russia. But that's not his goal, says Greenwald. His objective is to expose software that people around the world use without knowing that they are exposing themselves to, without consciously agreeing to surrender their rights and privacy. And so his goal is to inform people that when they use Microsoft or Google or Facebook or Skype or Apple, that their keystrokes are being recorded, and that their activities are being not only monitored but recorded, and that what you choose to do, what you think you have freedom to do, that it is being searched and seized. That was his goal, is to say that what the U.S. government is doing is inappropriate. He has a huge number of documents, however, that would be very harmful to the U.S. government if they were made public. Not to the people. Greenwald also told the Associated Press that literally thousands of documents were taken by Snowden, and they constitute an instruction manual for how the NSA was built. In order to take, and by the way, I think America would be safer and certainly have less adversaries around the world if the NSA were just shut down. I think you should, if you shut down the NSA as well as the CIA, and you constrain the size of Homeland Security by about 90%, and you reduce the size of the U.S. military by about 90%, that America would be more secure financially, would be more secure militarily in terms of foreign aggression, and that America would be far less hated around the world. We would have fewer enemies if we were to shut them down. Quote, in order to take documents with him that proved that what he was saying was true, he had to take ones that included detailed blueprints of how the NSA does what they do, said Greenwald, adding that the interview took place about 4 hours after his last interaction with Snowden. Greenwald believes the disclosure of the information in the documents would not prove harmful to Americans or to their national security. That if all of the documents that Snowden has, which would create great harm for the U.S. government, he says, in his opinion, and he seems like a very reasonable man, and he's seen all of this, he said they would not prove harmful to Americans or their national security. In other words, what the NSA is doing is not protecting the American people, but instead harming them. He says, but it would be harmful to the U.S. government as they perceive their own interests if the details in those programs were revealed, said Greenwald, who has previously said the documents have been encrypted to ensure their safekeeping. But there is a poison pill. If the United States government incarcerates Snowden, if they torture Snowden, if they kill Snowden, if they do any of these things, he'll release them. So why in the world are we taunting him in this way?